Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Worm.
I wrote in my notes, I accidentally wrote Lair of the White Wormt, like W-O-R-M-T. The Wormt.
The Wormt. That should be the sequel.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going? My name is David Bell.
My name is different. It's Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Lair of the White Worm.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
There is a legend of an ancient evil.
Something's been found in Stone Rig Cavern.
A legend that no one would ever believe.
Legend has it that Stone Rig Cavern was the lair of the Damned Worm.
Unless, of course, it came right up and bit him.
People used to call me the White Worm.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because of my sick dance moves.
Exactly. Just to start, big old thank you to Andrew McGuire.
Thank you.
It is Andrew McGuire who had us watch Lair of the White Worm, something that, like, at least if our Hypecast producer list was any indication, people wanted us to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1980-something. I want to say five. horror comedy, let's
know.
Call it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It. I had actually seen a little bit of this movie.
Really? I had never heard of this before.
Right. Well, really?
Okay. Yeah, no,
so
never.
our friends over at the Small Beans watched it on a Monday movie night, and I caught like the last half, but like in pieces, like I wasn't paying attention. I was paying enough attention to know it's going to be a batshit film. This wasn't for you what it was for me, which is this was a pass by in the video store movie,
mm-hmm.
where I always saw it, and I never rented it. I never got around to renting it. But I always fucking saw it in the video store.
Okay, this was 1988. I just looked up.
1988. Okay, yeah, this was a video store one for me. But what did you? I also told you to not look up who was in it. So was that delightful?
I sure didn't. And boy, what a treat! What a treat! Yeah. What a series of jump scares those opening credits are.
Yeah, Hugh Grant's in this movie.
Yeah.
As is one of the Doctor Who's.
Two names later, Peter Capaldi.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing? What the fuck is happening here? Yeah, how'd you like this movie, Tom?
It's pretty great, Dave. It's a pretty excellent movie.
Isn't it?
It's very Evil Dead 2.
Yes. This is what's kind of... So this is based off a Bram Stoker book.
Sure.
Which is very funny to me because I looked into it and it was, I believe, his last novel. So, like, he did Dracula early on and we, you know,
yeah,
like...
That's a good idea. You want to get that out of the way.
Yeah. I'm sure he had some hits along the way, but, like, I haven't really heard of other Bram Stoker books. And it's just funny to me because this movie is kind of Dracula. Like, it's very Dracula-like, right?
Where it's extremely town. Similar to Dracula, yeah. It's
yeah.
The lord in the manor, and there's long, creepy history behind it, and a big monstrous supernatural secret, yeah.
Right. So I don't know if this is true, but my headcanon is that Bram was getting flops, and he was like, all right, fine, Dracula again,
but this time yeah. there's snake vampires.
Yeah, we'll make it sexier.
But it is still snake vampires, though. They just have snake fangs and spit venom.
Yes. This movie reminded me of Evil Dead. It has a lot of shots that reminded me of Dead Alive. Like, it had a little Peter Jackson in it. And that's all to say, like, I'm kind of surprised I didn't grow up watching this movie. Like, I'm not sure how I missed this movie.
I think because it's a British film.
Right, that is off-putting.
So that's... Well, I just... It's... Those are harder to find their way into your little, like, pop culture orbit when you're,
right.
you know, 12 years old in America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's also, like, literally the first lines, I was like, I don't know what that person just said.
Oh yeah.
It's very
some heavy accents in this film. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Oh my fucking God. The customers only also watched with this included The Hunger, Videodrome, Dead Ringers, which gives you an idea of what you can expect.
Sweet.
But I think it's more like you're saying Evil Dead. It's more just batshit 80s. Like there was this, it feels like there was this 80s arms race of horror movies to see who could be weirder during this time.
How do you, which other ones are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of Evil Dead. I'm thinking of Dead Alive. I'm thinking of just general vibes of 80s horror. It just feels so much weirder during like this era of 80s or of horror rather.
Maybe.
You don't agree with that?
Well, not particularly. I don't know. Maybe
I guess
that's right.
Movies are weird now too.
Yeah. There's a lot of space in between those movies is a thing. Cause I think Dead Alive was even early 90s. Wasn't it? Anyway.
It might've been. Yeah. Big Trouble in Little China is another one that comes up in my head.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like this like weirdness that,
You're right. There was a lot of like weird legend too. I would kind of almost put in this category. Yeah. When they were figuring
Company
out
of Wolves.
Yes, that was a big video store movie for me. Like that was a video cassette case that I always remembered seeing because the cover art is so evocative. And you watch it, and it's not dissimilar from this, but it's in the sense that it's filmed in the same sort of like fairy tale like soft light.
Yes, this has
and it's also extremely British.
Yeah, Reanimator is another one where it's also like weird, lots of nudity, lots of weird nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just it's a great era, I think. For being.
You're right, yeah. They had the effects were coming into their own in a cool way, and genre films had just proven that they could be like the biggest money makers in the world.
Yeah. So this film is about Jesus fucking Christ. It's about a small British town. And there is this rich lady who's sort of
she's a secret snake vampire.
She's a sneaky yes. That's it's secret snake vampire. Thank you.
She's like she's Count Snakeula.
Yeah, yeah. And they have this worm legend, a white worm, which is a snake. We see it in like the first 5 minutes. There's a bluegrass disco dance puppet show. That sort of spells out the lore of this town.
It's
which
chill.
Did you notice this town in general? So you mentioned the dreamlike state. There's like a general unnervingness of this town. Did you catch that?
Yeah, it's weird. It's out of time.
Yes, like the part later, Hugh Grant's talking on speakerphone and watching a TV. I was like, wait, this takes place in the 80s? Like, it didn't even occur to me that it was a
driving car.
I know, but like, it's so fucking weird that like my brain didn't register.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's television here? Like, why would there be? Like, they're not nothing.
I'm
the
just,
way
I'm
they
surprised
behave.
The electric hillbilly British bluegrass band didn't set you off.
Well, again, like you said, it's weird and timeless. So like. Yeah. It's just like it's so off-putting in general. Like at that bluegrass party, did you like there's like a buffet, and everything has octopus on it. Did you notice that?
No,
like
I
on
didn't.
The there's Jell-O with an octopus on it. Then there's like a bowl of what looks
that's
like berries or grapes. Yeah, that's lined with octopus like tentacles, and so it's like shit like that where everything's like a little off. Like did you notice that like people don't tend to have much furniture in this? Like a lot of the shots, there's like no one really has furniture. There's like that isn't to say they don't have any, but there's a lot of like rooms that are just like fairly empty, especially obviously in the mansion.
I wonder if that was like a location, like a budget thing. Because you're right, like the two
it might have been
really the only two locations we see are this little inn where most of our main characters are staying. Countess Snakeula's manor home, which is completely empty of furniture, like you said.
Yeah.
They make some explanation where she's been away, and is just now returning for the spring season.
Yeah.
But yeah, both there and in the boarding house, like the little boarding house I guess it's a bed and breakfast really.
Right.
The rooms have like two, you're right. Like they go into Peter Capaldi's room. It has a desk and two little twin beds and that's it.
Right. Yeah, it just, it's so, I like you're saying, I don't know what's intentional, what's not. I feel like ultimately they lean into this stuff, though. Yeah, the plot is, it takes place in the town of Derbyshire, because, of, you know, come on, England.
Yeah. that's a British mad libs.
Yeah. It's these sisters who, in their backyard, this weirdo unearths a huge skull. Like, the first thing that happens is a guy lifts a skull up and screams.
I have that written down, joy. Too. It's not just a guy. It's the first line of this movie is Peter Capaldi, specifically, holding up an obviously plastic dragon skull and yipping.
Yeah.
He yips, Dave.
Yep. And then the woman who walks in, one of the sisters, she says something to him, and that's the line where I was like, I don't know what she just said. This movie is immediately like up to 11, I thought. And it's just like the first 30 seconds is gibberish to me.
And it takes a minute in this scene for everybody's character and role to become clear. So like at first I was like, is he digging a pool?
Yeah, what's going on here?
It turns out he's an archaeologist that is staying at the bed and breakfast and also just excavating their garden.
Well, that is 100% something that happens in England. You can go online and see video or news stories of like old people gardening and finding like old Roman structures and shit like that because it's so fucking old there.
Yeah, that's true.
You,
yeah.
You remember that they found a king in a parking lot recently, like
Richard
a few
the
years
third.
Ago? Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous there. So, like, I that stands for
you're
me.
You're, like, burying the lead on some of these figures. Like, we open on a guy. It's Peter Capaldi. They found some king. It was Richard the Third.
I don't know British names. Listen. I'm not a Doctor Who
fan. No, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. So, they're, they go to this party, and so there's...
Really soft pitch in it.
There's Doctor Who, and there's fucking... Love Actually over there.
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
And they're like friends, right?
Not really. Like, he meets him for the first time here. There's two sisters that run the bed and breakfast. Their parents recently disappeared on this trail.
Right.
Feared dead. Hugh Grant is the lord. He's the person that owns all the land that they're staying on.
Right.
And he's dating one of the two sisters.
Right, and the other one starts getting a thing with the other sister.
Right, the other sister starts getting with Doctor Who, yeah.
Right. I see why I was a little confused, only because that's a lot of weird dynamics very quickly in the movie.
Yeah.
It's more my fault, though. The movie's good. Like, I think this is a good movie, right? This is a good movie?
It's pretty great. Like,
yeah.
I love the first time they sort of meet is at that party at Hugh Grant's house, because his family is like the family of legend that... According to the legend, slew the white worm. Like, his great ancestor was the knight that killed the dragon or whatever. So every year his family holds like this big party for everybody in the village, and they all come to his house, and it's like a masquerade. It's like a Halloween party or like a fucking ring dance is what it looks like. It looks like a high school dance.
Yeah. It's cool. I like this because there was like that Valentine's Day movie too did this. Where it's like small towns have their own holidays.
Yeah.
I like that.
And My Bloody Valentine.
There we go.
So they have this scene where they meet is they're at the little buffet table. And Hugh Grant just starts serving Peter Capaldi something that looks like some kind of noodle dish, but not quite like it's too red. Yeah. There's something off about it. So you're like,
the noodles
is that
are
like
too short?
Yeah. It's like, is it spaghetti squash? Like, what is that? But he just serves some of it to him, and Peter Capaldi's like scarfing it down while he's telling Hugh about this weird skull he found. And then Hugh's like, would you like some more? He's like, yeah, please, it's great. He's like, oh, that's great. I've never seen somebody take to earthworms, like boiled earthworms so well. It's our local delicacy. So he literally Lost Boys'd him. He did the Kiefer Sutherland from Lost Boys.
He did. Yeah.
Worms, Michael. You're eating worms. You're eating worm. How do they taste?
And again, they have octopus casually on that table. Yeah. They eat like fucking Klingons in this. It's so weird.
They eat like they're from Innsmouth. Like, this is a fucking Lovecraft country.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then they walk home. Two of them, and we get a little more lore. It really feels like they're gonna run into some fucking Hounds of Baskerville's.
Oh yeah,
like it's got that fucking
some phantom, some Scooby-Doo ghost is gonna swing a lantern.
We meet the aggressively friendly local British cop, and we meet the Lady Marsh, who, in my opinion, has got it all figured out.
Yeah.
She dresses like a fucking Soul Calibur character.
She does.
She's
awesome.
So cool.
My favorite bit later is when she picks up a Boy Scout to bring back to her house to feast upon his supple young flesh.
And it's one of those... Oh, sorry, go on.
It cuts to them just lounging in front of her fireplace. She is in full-on lingerie with thigh-high vinyl fuck-me boots. But they're playing, and he's just in his underpants, and they're playing Snakes and Ladders.
They sure are. It's so funny.
This lady is the coolest.
Yeah, it's such a weird combination of events. I love that scene because if that Boy Scout was a little older or a little wiser, he'd be like, she's going to kill me, isn't she?
He would know that he's about to be serial killed.
Right. Instead, he's like, I guess this is how the world works. Ladies just pick you up and fuck you. Mm-hmm. No questions asked.
And then they turn, they turn into snakes and eat you.
And eat you.
Drown you in their ornate jacuzzi tubs.
My favorite thing about Snakes and Ladders, first of all, there is a white worm motif. I'm sure you noticed that.
Oh, yeah, the vacuum cleaner, and there's a few
the hose,
other ones.
There's a bunch of... I kept writing, is that the white worm? Who's the white worm?
We're all the white worm, Dave.
We're all the white... What I think is the payoff of the Snakes and Ladders is later, I believe, Hugh Grant comes over.
He does, yeah.
And he finds... He basically, like... She has just drowned the kid in the hot tub. She was in the middle of murdering this kid when he interrupts her. And so he sees fucking someone's been clearly playing Snakes and Ladders by the fireplace in this sexy way.
Yeah.
And she has to like create an elaborate lie around it.
Yeah.
And it's very funny to watch her have to like tap dance because she creates this trauma about snakes at first. He's like, Snakes and Ladders. She's like, some people like to play chess against themselves. I like Snakes and Ladders. And it's like, and it's like just such a weird and sweaty lie.
Right.
And then she talks about how she hates snakes and they traumatize her. And he's like, why are you playing Snakes and Ladders? She's like, oh, I'm working out my fears. And it's like, okay, so let's stop and unpack all of this.
Here, let me get you a chair so you can sit down. And why don't we just start all over again?
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to change your story at all?
Would you like to try again?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing lore she has to create for herself.
It's one of my favorite scenes.
It's really great.
She's living her best life. It's a vampire seduction scene, right? Like she's trying to seduce him. And it works a little bit.
Right, but she's so weird.
But like, right, everything, what he has walked in on is so hard to explain, even for like a creepily hot rich lady.
Right.
Like that was like, it was enough for him to not like immediately leave, but like, he's only there for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So like, her hotness wasn't enough to make up for the fact that this is obviously fucked, whatever you were doing when I walked in.
Right, unlike the Boy Scout, Hugh Grant's been around the block a few times.
A little bit older.
Like, I know not to put my dick in whatever this is. I don't know what this is exactly, but I know not to put my dick in it. I will retreat and figure this out.
What a film. We haven't even talked about the hell shots yet. It does like the Event Horizon blood orgy shots.
Yeah, where like she... So there's a scene... Where when Lady Marsh goes over to the bed and breakfast, the first reveal, and I love how they do this, because you kind of know she's the villain, right? Like, right, the moment you see her, you're like, she's the villain.
They don't try to hide it. They're just teasing, like,
What I love is that they could hide aspects of her, like that she's a snake person.
Right.
But instead, it's like the first 30 minutes, in the bed and breakfast, she sees the crucifix, and then... casually gets snake fangs and spits venom and leaves, and they don't tell us anything else.
We have the scene before that where she meets the cop and he gets bit by a snake and she sucks the venom out of his ankle but swallows it.
Yeah.
So we've already been like she's in this house all by herself.
Weirdo.
Like, we know she's weird and there's something's off and it's going to have something to do with the snake legend. But you think they're going to keep like kind of being coy with it. And then in this scene, she just full on becomes a He-Man action figure and spits acid on the crucifix.
And it's like, oh, that's what she is.
I'm like, oh, hell yeah, okay. And then when one of the daughters comes home and touches the acid crucifix, we get our first blood orgy scene, Dave.
Yeah, it's like an MTV 80s music video that she sees.
Yeah. It's like a completely different format, almost. I that's not the right word, but like it's...
If you've ever seen the ending of Lords of Salem, it's kind of like that. It's like... How could you describe it?
It looks like it's shot on video.
Yes, on purpose.
And it's like overexposed, but also like the frames have been painted on, it looks like, to really give it this Boschian hellscape look.
Yeah, like an 80s guar video.
Yeah, it's Jesus on a crucifix with a giant snake wrapped around eating him. All these nuns getting fucked to death by snake people.
Yep. That is what's happening.
That is what is happening.
This movie is very horny.
Up to that point, it's been like pretty simmering, right? Like it's
right.
Been...
There's a part later where she like blows a snake tail in one of these Satan fucking videos.
Oh, she's deep throating a snake. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the level of horny. By the way, the woman, you know what? She has only one other role I saw and recognized. She's the hot lawyer in Liar Liar that he sleeps
with. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
I've had better.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is her, which
is just like weird two roles for me. Like, she's done other things, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, she's great.
She's great in this.
Right. Is she the one someone says, oh no, Hugh Grant says only nutty potholers go to her house at one point, and I was like, that's so fucking British. Like, does he mean crackpots or potheads? I don't know. It could be either.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah.
I can't see. Yeah, it's indecipherable. He could be making it up just to screw with us.
Right.
I love later when they set up giant speakers at Hugh Grant's house to play the Snake Charmer music. There's two things I want to talk about in this scene. The first one is when he's asking his butler where to find that record. He's like, there's this music that my dad used to listen to. It sounded like Snake Charmer music. I think it might be this. He puts the record on. And the butler, like, comes inside of his own brain when he hears this music. Like, he's, like, ejaculating in the dim memories of his past.
Yes.
Like, he's like, it is yes. Like, I'm not exaggerating.
It's very off-putting. The butler is generally off-putting.
And he's sweaty. He's so sweaty when he's doing this.
Yeah,
just
when he spoilers,
it's coming at his ears.
Yeah,
anyway.
when he dies, I was like, "That's probably good.
It's best for humanity." Yeah. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about is he's doing this to lure the snake lady, Lady Marsh, away from her snake mansion, Snake Mountain. Sticking with the He-Man stuff, so that Peter Capaldi and the other sister can sneak inside and find evidence, I guess, of her snake machinations.
Yeah.
But when she gets entranced by, we get so many offers in about 4 seconds, like it cuts to her house and we see that she pops up out of a basket. She sleeps in a basket. Dang.
Hell yeah. Well, she's a snake.
She's a snake. And then she starts vamping down the hall, like in this exaggerated, like shoulder and hip rolling runway walk. And she does that all the way down the main hall and out the front door. And a few scenes later, we see that she has gotten inside Hugh Grant's house and taken the record off of the record player.
Right.
So we are to assume that she vamped all the way across the countryside.
100%
Hugh Grant's house.
People
it's not
saw
a
that
short
shit.
Distance.
And they're like, ah, it's that weird lady again.
She's doing like a Jessica Rabbit dance.
She
is. For like 6 miles.
See, the thing they set up earlier when she kills the fucking Boy Scout, he plays the harmonica and she can't stop dancing to it. It's very funny because it's such a funny thing to try to have to hide that you're a snake person. And they know it's funny. So like her weakness is that if you play music, you charm her. right? Which comes in handy a few times.
Yeah.
And this is one time. That is an incredible fucking edit. They should have shown the entire sequence of her dancing across the moor.
Yeah, it would have been so good.
I think everybody knows she's a snake person. That's my theory.
Well, she keeps making reference. It's like the...
clearly a snake person.
Right. It's like the person who can't stop making wolf references who's the secret werewolf. Like, she does this, you should know that I change cars as often as a snake sheds its skin. What?
I think you might be a snake person.
Yeah. You're like a were-snake.
I love the idea of no one, it not working on any, because that's the thing. This town, I know why she chose this town, because they have to make this town some of the densest people imaginable, to the fact that she's an obvious snake person, which again, it's hard. Like, being an obvious snake person is a big failure because most people don't know what a snake person is or accept the idea of a snake person.
Right. There's not like an accepted definition. Right. Like, there's not like a Dracula or a, there's not a definitive text that we can all refer to give us a shorthand of snake person.
It's wild that she's so bad at being a snake person that it's like, yeah, she's totally a snake person. But they have to, like, later her friend gets hypnotized. It must be when she finds her in the tree.
Yeah.
Like, again, all this every time this woman is like preying on someone, she's like, I lost a cat up here. And it's like, no, you didn't.
She shows up in the tree dressed like Laurie Metcalf and Uncle Buck. Yeah. Like, it's almost it's almost the exact outfit.
Right. Again, she's a fucking weirdo.
She's great.
And so, like, yeah, it seems like she's lightly hypnotizing people, but also the town just has to be dense. Because later she hypnotizes her to call her sister, say everything's okay. And as she's on the phone with her, she starts screaming. Because the hypnosis, like, wears off.
Right,
she hangs up.
She's wearing a crucifix ring and looks down at it.
Right. And then the sister, after hearing her sister scream on the phone and clearly in danger, says, like, should we call the police? I don't want to make a fuss.
Yeah, after she...
And it's like...
She heard her sister scream the name of an elder god.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you wouldn't know what that is, but, like... It's a word. It's one of those words that would alarm you. Like, it's like, it sounds like the person's having a stroke at the very least. So
it's an alarming phone call. Yeah.
So at the, a rational person would assume that she's had some sort of brain event on the platform at the train station.
Right.
At but she's least. Like, I don't want to make a fuss.
So this is when you make a fuss. This is the time for
fussing.
Jesus fucking
Christ.
There
are snake people on the table.
Yeah.
Fuss away.
Remember Hugh Grant's boring ass dream? His dream that he's on a plane and does a crossword puzzle, and then there's snakes.
I really loved that dream. It's so weird.
It's great. Yeah. But it's one of those, like, at least until the snakes show up, like, it's one of those dreams that you have and you wake up and you go, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have good dreams?
My favorite part is when he's watching one of the sisters who is dressed as a flight attendant and the snake woman, Lady Marsh, who's also dressed as a flight attendant, wrestle each other in the walkway, and their garters are showing, and he's holding this pencil and he slowly raises it straight up because he's getting rock hard, Dave.
It's so horny.
Yeah.
So fucking horny, this movie.
Wild.
Yeah. What the fuck happens? Yeah, she gets trapped. She pretends to be trapped in a tree.
But again, the thinnest of lies.
Just
real quick, I wanted to point out that he wakes up before he gets the pertinent information from the dream. Like, the dream takes him to the point of, like, where he's gonna slay the dragon, and then his weird butler wakes him up by making breakfast loud as fuck.
Yeah.
So it's funny to me that he got to watch, like, the foxy boxing portion of his dream, but not the part with the pertinent information that would have helped us.
Right.
Sorry, continue.
No, we're skipping around a bit because, she goes missing. Then that's when Hugh Grant does the speakers. That's also when we get the fucking broadsword. Because what happens is, I think it's one of their parents.
It looks like the Braveheart sword.
It does. The mom, I think the mom has been turned into a snake person. What we learn is that, like Dracula, she can make... like slaves, basically.
Yeah, she bites them and they become her little vampire thralls. The hypnotism is the same thing as, like, the vampire can do.
Again, very lazy.
You're right.
Bram Stoker.
You're right. It's just I hadn't even thinking of it. It is just Dracula again.
He just shat this one out.
Yeah.
And so The mom shows up, attacks Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant grabs a broadsword off the wall, I believe, and just chops that lady in half.
Straight the fucking half.
What an image I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime. Hugh Grant chopping a snake woman in half.
With the Braveheart sword.
Yeah.
And he swings it so hard and it's so heavy that he falls into some furniture as he's doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not furniture. It's a drum set.
Yes.
It's a drum set from the party, from the the British bluegrass band.
Weird fucking movie.
God, I mean,
later he uses a mongoose.
He does, and she just eats it.
It does not work out.
It doesn't work at all.
She eats it and hurls it back in his face.
I don't know
it's
why
a very
he thought
dead alive
that would
scene.
Work. Yeah.
And then, of course, he uses bagpipes to thwart her, which works for a little while.
Peter Capaldi does that.
Right, yeah. Well, he does that and the mongoose, I thought.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Peter Capaldi
he's like
the
Van Helsing for snake people.
For some reason.
I like they say he's Scottish, so that's I think all they do to set up. Oh yeah, he plays bagpipes.
And they also made him change into a kilt for this, because in the scene where they're going to the house, he's just wearing his normal clothes. But as soon as he starts playing the bagpipes, they put him in a kilt. It's like it's like a Simpsons gag. Like you have to be wearing the costume in order to play the bagpipes.
I mean, this is all to say that like they know what they're doing and they're having fun.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is very tongue-in-cheek.
It's Evil Dead 2. It's this idea. I think what they did is they found this story that was kind of batshit, and I'm sure none of these, like the bagpipes and shit, wasn't in Bram Stoker's version.
No. I'm sure it's like based on the novel as much as Reanimator is based on the Lovecraft story.
Right. But what I love about this movie, and it's something that horror movies still do, and I would argue some of the best horror movies do this. And it's nothing against movies that don't do this, but figuring out their basically let's make new Dracula, let's make a new lore, right? Like that's what makes like a movie like It Follows good. A movie like fucking Carrie, but also Christine.
Time, yeah.
I was gonna say Christine, Killer Cars, shit like that. Like let's do something in a horror movie. Get Out, you know, Jordan. Nope, where it's like we've seen Aliens, but not like this. Like trying to find a new way to present a horror monster and then embracing what makes that unique and weird, right?
Yeah.
Because like it's always weird. Like Dracula has all these rules and they're weird. So why not give... I bet the music thing was in Bram Stoker's because that's such a Dracula thing. Let's give her a weakness.
It's very childlike in its simplicity.
Yeah. But they knew, like, okay, let's make this funny, right? Like, let's have someone play fucking bagpipes. Let's take this to, like, you know, the next logical conclusions. Which is why I actually think this movie needs a sequel or a remake. And I can tell you who should do it. Do you want to think about that? Do you want to? It's I don't know why I'm making this a game. But
No. Who are you thinking? Just tell me.
Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright's Lair of the White Worm. You could have Hugh Grant in it again.
He
could play like the cop or something. I think that would be a banger of a movie.
Yeah, this is one to revisit, I think, or at least make a sequel or do something.
Yeah, I want I want something to draw people's attention to this movie, right?
Yes, yeah, because this movie deserves to be seen by everyone who enjoys Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I can't believe this isn't on that same level when we talk about. Like batshit 80s horror movies, you know?
I think it's like, just I think it's just the international separation. I really do.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a cult film in Britain, right? Like it's not a huge movie, was it?
I don't know. What's interesting is going back to the Amazon customers also watched, which, you know, it's Amazon. I'm not taking it with a grain of salt. But The Hunger, Videodrome, and Dead Ringers... That is actually in my head where I had put this movie, meaning that when I saw it in the video store, it was always in like the cult section and it was always with movies like that. So what I imagined this movie was one of those like weird fucking like cocaine fueled 80s art house movies. That's like kind of gnarly, but also just kind of like grotesque or like kind of a bummer. You know, or like not a movie you watch all the time.
Right, yeah.
And like more like where it was going to be like thinly veiled porn. Like, which isn't to say that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, like, there's a difference between The Hunger and Evil Dead, right? Like, have you seen The Hunger?
No, but I'm aware of it.
Okay, yeah, The Hunger is, like, sexy vampire thriller.
Yeah.
You know, where there's, like, some weird stuff, it's grotesque, but it's more trying to be sexy than silly. And, like, yeah, you saw Dead Ringers. And so, like, that's always where I put it in my head. And watching it and realizing, like, oh, this is just a, like, an over-the-top 80s horror.
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
I was not expecting it to be as fun as it is.
No, I wasn't either. Because we haven't even talked about the fucking ending.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when the giant snake shows up?
Yeah, so there's Snake Cop.
Yeah, he got snakeified. Then,
yep. And then we see, so this woman who was hypnotized and kidnapped, her sister is also kidnapped, but I think just to get her out of the way.
Yeah, Hugh just Grant for efficiency.
Hugh Grant becomes kind of useless. He, like, leads an expedition to, like, find the snake.
That's, like, right? The weakest part of the movie for me.
Yeah, is that could have been a weirder adventure.
He gets grabbed by the ankle by the top half of Snake Mom. And the phone goes dead, and then we just don't hear from him for a while, and then it just cuts to him leading a team of men into the caverns to fill it with gas to smoke the snake out. So they really yada yada over a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we need, like, a scene, because I do kind of in my head logically can connect that, which is that he got grabbed by a bisected snake woman who was like, I need more people. I don't want to deal with this. Like, I think his tactic was the coward's way, where he's like, okay, I'm not going to that house. I'm going to get a bunch of people, go to that cavern. That's the most sense I can make of it. Just coward. But we, also, when, there's a little spoilers. Was there a scene establishing when he gets a grenade?
No. Okay. No, Peter Capaldi just reaches into his kilt and pulls out a grenade. I think it's a joke.
It is a joke, yeah. But it's a great joke.
It's a great joke. He just pulls a fucking grenade out of his kilt.
It means he showed up at this house with a mongoose, bagpipes, and a grenade. Mm-hmm. Like, one of these three things will kill this vampire.
It's a Scotsman's bug out bag.
Yeah.
A mongoose, and he's right. Grenade, and some bagpipes.
Yeah. So the ritual begins, and the snake woman shows up with a fucking strap-on. A giant aguar-sized fucking strap-on.
Yeah, snake-themed, you better believe.
Yeah.
She's going to lust-murder her from Seven.
Yes, she absolutely is. But then the snake comes early, is like, there's rumbling, and she's like, no time for fucking ritual, or no time for ceremony, or whatever. So then the idea is to feed this giant snake a person. And that seems to be all the snake wants, right? It's just like a person?
Yeah, it's... Doesn't really seem to be interested in much else.
Honestly, seems reasonable.
Yeah, he's stuck in a very tiny hole.
Yeah, I bet you could honestly throw a goat to it, or like a large animal, and he'd be
really
like, that's
anything
fine
at
too.
All. I think he'd probably just be grateful that you thought of him.
Yeah, I think they're overthinking the snake's wants.
Put some cows in there.
Right. So the sister's hanging over it. Snake lady's trying to cut it. She gets thwarted. He pushes her off. She's hanging by the woman's ankle, and he cuts off her fucking hand.
Sure does.
And she gets fed to the giant snake.
It looked fun. It looked fun to get eaten by the snake, because the snake is, you know, obviously it's a big prop.
Right.
It's a big bloody snake head inching its way up this cavern.
Yeah.
But she falls in it. It looks like falling in a big old bloody beanbag chair. It looked like fun, Dave.
It does.
I'd like to be
fun.
Eaten by the snake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, very guar.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a guar puppet.
It does look like a guar puppet. That's true.
It looks like fucking gore or whatever. And so he saves the damsel from the snake, throws a fucking grenade that he just happens to have into the snake. That does it. That does it for the snake. But it's not over, you see, because he also, we forgot to mention, he got bit, right? And he gets an anti-venom from a lab. And uses it on himself earlier. And we get the reveal that this is possibly the worst lab ever.
Yeah.
Because then when it's all said and done, the lab calls and goes, we accidentally didn't give you anti-venom. We gave you something else. And you're like, really?
Arthritis medicine is what it was for.
Yeah, that's a really important thing to not fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, snake monster aside, if someone needs anti-venom, give them anti-venom.
And he's like, can I come get it? And she's like, yeah, right. You can come by and pick it up whenever. Sorry it took so long to get to you. And she's acting like they forgot his French fries.
Yes, it's so casual.
Like generally, when somebody requests you some anti-venom, there's some urgency implied.
Yeah, you commit. If you don't send them the right thing, you've probably committed like manslaughter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's... And she's so like, whatever. Because she says something like, eh, there's no stakes this season. And it's like, that's not enough. You're trying to help. You're trying to tell yourself you didn't kill someone. And she did much more than that, because it means that it gets passed on, the snake curse. And he's going to eat Hugh Grant. Seems like he's going to eat Hugh Grant at the end.
He might. Yeah, he gives him a real sly smile.
It's like Hugh Grant knows, is I think the implication. So this is all to say you could absolutely make a sequel of this.
Yeah.
With Hugh Grant in it.
Why not?
Playing the same character.
Make it a legacy sequel. Make it The Force Awakens for Lair of the White Worm.
Seriously. These are the things we need sequels for, in
exactly.
my opinion.
This is the stuff that I want several of them. Several yeah. installments.
Kingdom of the White Worm.
Yeah. Of the Planet of the Apes.
Of the Planet of the Apes. Fuck it. That's the movie that we went through, which I needed to retell it because it's like a dream. It's like a fever dream.
Well, it's shot that way too. Like I said, it's a lot of soft light. There's a lot of fisheye lens in it.
Yeah.
Like we said, there's a lot of like slipped, I guess moments in logic. Like it's how, you know, Hugh Grant suddenly we don't hear from him. And then all of a sudden right. he step back at the cave with this team of dudes. There's a little bit of that to it too. Dream logic, I guess, is the better way to say yeah. it.
I really think Peter Jackson is the person that it reminded me the most of, because of the fisheye lenses and like that dreamy look.
Mm-hmm.
Like where in the town's like a little off, everything's kind of timeless. It really gave me those vibes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Which is to say that, of course, this movie is a fucking delight. I'm just so curious of how it... Like, you saying, like, because it's British, like, I do kind of get that, but I also kind of don't, where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it just didn't get distribution here when it first came out, but it still seems weird.
That must be it. I don't know. Because obviously Dead Alive found its way to us, but, like, I don't know. I just never even heard of this until we got the, request to do an episode about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had only heard of it because, yeah, they were randomly watching it on the Monday movie night, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking at this director, and, like, I don't really, he's done a lot, but it's, like, it's got to be, like, very cult stuff, right? I want to see his other stuff. He did something called The Devils. His latest was called A Kitten for Hitler.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I believe
He made Altered States. It's Ken Russell.
Oh, there it is. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's a little bit all... Yeah, the hell shots. It's very Altered States.
Yeah. It's all coming together.
Yeah, it's all... The connections are becoming clear.
Yeah. I have nothing else to say about this except, like... I'm sure a lot of horror like nerds listening are like, yeah, of course I've seen this, right? Like, I almost feel shame having not seen this movie, where it's like, how did I not fucking see this? But if you haven't seen it and you're like a big horror fan, or honestly just a big fan of weird.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar from like a British version of The Howling.
Yeah. Or if you're snake horny, this is the movie
for
you.
Snakes, just down bad.
Yeah, and again,
you
probably...
To see a lady suck a snake's head.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Because that happens.
That happens. She blows a snake, essentially.
Blows his nose, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, the snake's not finding it sexy. Snake's like, what are you doing right now? This is weird.
Oh.
This is very weird. Do you think snakes find this movie offensive? Like, they see her coming out of the basket, and they're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Stolen valor.
Yeah, snakes and Scottish people, because they see the bagpipes and they're like, come on now. Because they don't establish that, right? He's just Scottish.
He's just Scottish, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's funny.
The bagpipes come out of nowhere, and again, he does a costume change to play them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything wonderful. Else either. It's a delightful film.
Delightful film. Check it out, everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
And Thank you, of course, to Andrew McGuire.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of fucking fun. This is, of course, like a 90-minute film, too.
I will say it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, but there, you may have noticed that I did say that they are in the hell scenes, there are snake people fucking nuns to death.
There's like some sexual violence.
Yeah, so like, you know.
That's a brief scene, but then also the snakes strap on. Nothing happens, but it's a, you know.
Pretty fearsome. It's a ferocious strap on, so, you know.
It's an implied sexual violence that would have happened.
Be aware.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But it is fun.
Yeah, because it doesn't go too far with that stuff.
No,
and
it's mostly
just batshit.
Right. It's about as intense as the blood orgy from Event Horizon.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you, Andrew McGuire.
Thank you.
This was through our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY unemployed. $5 a month, you get access to our exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys. We watch movies every Friday night with our patrons as well. I'd say we watch this, but there's a lot of crossover with Small Beans, so, I mean, we'll probably watch this eventually.
Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't.
Yeah, but yeah, check all that out. It's a great community. We have a Discord, all this stuff. You'd love it. You love it.
Yeah.
You love it.
It's great. We also have a store. Head over to gameplayunemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your little snake charm and peepers onto that.
Yeah. And don't fuck snakes. Like, there's no...
Best not to. There's no upside.
It's bad for the snake. It's bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes out of that.
I mean, it's, in one piece. The snake feels nothing. It doesn't...
Yeah. Snake lady...
Snake lady.
I mean, I understand the impulse.
Yeah, that's like a personal choice. That's if you want to roll those dice, it's, you know.
And you are rolling those dice.
Right, it's like skydiving.
Yes.
But
it's exactly like that.
With the skydiving crew that has like the lowest score on Yelp.